Now I'll read today's Bible passage. Matthew chapter 5, verses 7 through 12. Matthew chapter 5, verses 7 through 12. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they have persecuted the prophets who were before you. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise your name. Recently, there's been all kinds of distressful news going around, and people have been hurt by this, so we pray for them. We know that there are some things that are directly out there hurting humans, and some of these are nature-related. We pray that people will be able to be safe in this natural environment. In Isaiah, it states that people will have to eat and deal with different things in nature. And it is speaking about the thousand-year reign of in Jesus' second coming as well. At first, people were assigned to be in charge of the world, but due to various things, there are various issues we face, and there's also issues such as idolatry as well. People have been changed from the original form that they were created in God's image to be something else, which isn't ideal. We pray that people have a correct biblical understanding of the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hello, everyone. Today, we're going to be hearing a message from God and learning about what Jesus has to say of various things about the passage read just a moment ago. Over the ocean, we know that there's a famous Japanese baseball player that's gaining a lot of attention, Otani. And actually, last week in the professional Japanese realm, there was the Central League and Pacific League competition that took place in with the exception of one game, it was a pretty tight competition, and so it was very exciting for many people. As for the Hanshin Tigers in Osaka, they are very popular. And when they win a game, they go to this Dontonburi area, which is a hot spot in Osaka, and they like jump into the river. You shouldn't do this, but this is like what people do. They get so excited. And there are some other people that actually support the opposing team, the Oryx Buffaloes, that's just in the Pacific League, whereas the Hanshin Tigers are in the Central League. And actually in 2023, it was a miracle because both of these teams were actually up against each other in Osaka for a big tournament. And so the police department said that if the Oryx team was about ready to win, then in the Dotonbori area, they would have about 100 policemen placed. But if the Hanshin Tigers won in that same area, they would have 1,300 policemen there, 13 times as many policemen. You can see just what a big gap in popularity these teams have. Of course, there are some Hanshin Tigers fans here. And for me, my parents were fans of the opposing teams. And recently, because one's doing well and one's not doing well, the teams are, then that's have a peaceful environment at home. And for other aspects of life, you have your favorite people in your life and your faves, in a sense. For example, you really look up to somebody, or perhaps for yourself, you try to place your ideal life along with somebody else, and so you have like favorite people that you look up to in your life. Or sometimes you have somebody you look up to, hoping that your child will aspire to live like them. Amongst young people today, there is a special word they're using. It's called your fave in English. And if you're talking about it like a favorite group, you would say like your fave's group. And so you may wonder why I'm bringing up these topics today here. But what it is, when people are talking about your faves or your faves group, in Japan, they use a word that's called like preaching to say this. So do you have any faves in your lives? A favorite artist or comedian or something? I do. But amongst all the faves I have, the first and the most prominent one in my life is, of course, Jesus Christ. In my life, when I look back on it, I can tell that my life completely changed when I met Jesus Christ. And that's why he is my true fave. And I hope that that is true for all of you who have accepted him as your Savior as well. And what is so great about having Jesus in your life? Well, many things. But the most important thing is that, or one of the most important things, is that my perspective of the world has completely changed. Prior to knowing Jesus, death was pretty scary for me. However, after getting to know Jesus, I now have hope for heaven. And because of that, the fear of death is gone, and death is just something that's a way to pass on to eternal life. And also in life, there's all kinds of trials and tribulations we face. But now I realize that those things are allowed by God for us to be used as times to grow ourselves. And sometimes when we meet with people we can't get along with, we can realize and have the opportunity to look into their heart and see them as and the good aspects of them in which God has created. So there's various things that are great about knowing Jesus Christ. Today we're looking at, again, a teaching by Jesus Christ and various things that he has taught people. In today's teaching, we can see how Jesus spoke to his disciples, and in this long teaching that he had, this is the second half of these Beatitudes. The first half we looked at 2 weeks ago, and it was about the relationship of people with God. The second half of the Beatitudes is our teachings about people and people. So the first teaching is in verse 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." So what is this mercy that's being talked about here? It's not something that you just like feel, bad for somebody when they're going through something that's rough. Rather, to be merciful or show mercy means that you have the ability to stand in someone else's perspective and to really feel what they are going through. As for Jesus Christ, that's exactly what he did for us. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came as the Son of God to this earth. While he was living here, he exceeded various boundary lines that humans had put in place. For example, in the Jewish times, in those times, they said that you weren't able to get near or touch a sick person because that would make you unclean. However, Jesus exceeded this boundary line and actually touched people who were sick and healed them. In addition, in those days, there was a boundary line between men and women, and Jesus broke this boundary line too by speaking to women. Also, in those days in Israel, the Gentiles were not allowed to speak with people of Israel, and Jesus also disregarded that line as well. For many years, the people of Samaria were considered as enemies, and Jesus also reached out to them. This teaching also applies to those who are persecuted. Jesus prayed for those who actually persecuted him on the cross, saying, "Dear God, please forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." In this way, Jesus, even when he was losing his life, he was showing mercy to those who were opposing him. In this way, Jesus exceeded these and tore down some of these boundary lines that humans had put in place in his lifetime. With these new values that Jesus was teaching, you may wonder where he came up with them. Some scholars said that when Jesus was young, when he was in contact with the Roman government, that he was changed by that. Some scholars said that anyway. However, that has been totally denied, because in the Roman time, Roman people in that time, they didn't have such values as what Jesus was teaching. So where is it that Jesus came up with his teaching? The scholars couldn't find an answer to this. However, if you have spiritual eyes when you look at this, you will know. You will know why in those days Jesus was able to show these new values. It's because Jesus was truly the Son of God. He has the values of heaven, God's values, and he brought them to show them to us here on earth. Thereafter, people who were impressed with Jesus' teaching made great efforts to take strides in changing the aspects to change the world with things like democracy, gender equality, discrimination, abolishment, and so on. And these things are now just everyday things we take for granted in our lives. But that was not true back in Jesus' time. In this way, Jesus really did show people mercy when he was walking through his life here on earth. To have a heart that is full of mercy is one that allows us to be learning more about Jesus Christ. And when we have such a heart, we're able to share such mercy with others as well. We can have mercy when we need, when we can show that to others as well. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." The second teaching that he gave is in verse 8. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." So, blessed are the pure in heart. It's talking about these types of people. And this is talking not just about people who have an unevil heart, but rather, if you look at the Gospels, you look at Jesus and the Pharisees of those days and their communication between each other, you will notice something. In those days, the Pharisees were very focused on the law, and they made great effort to abide by it. But their motive for doing so was far from God's heart. By obeying the law, they had pride, and they looked down upon others. In other words, they were following the law not for God, but for becoming prideful in themselves. With that pride, they unfortunately didn't see Jesus Christ, Son of God, when he came before them. Through this teaching, he was trying to get them to realize they need to look to God's heart. Their hearts were not pure, and that's why they couldn't see God. To be pure in heart, to be able to see God, what exactly does that apply? How does that apply to us today? Well, it means to be able to experience God. In other words, it's to have like a Holy Spirit experience. People who know God, not just as knowledge, but have personal experience with him, are truly blessed. They realize that, yes, God truly is with them and is guiding them in their lives. Through such experiences, our faith can truly grow. in the U.S. There was a pastor by the name of David Wilkerson. In the 1960s, he was instructed by God to go to New York to the drug addicts and youth who were in a very difficult circumstances. And through his work, he actually ended up writing a best-selling book, The Cross and the Switchblade, which has become a movie since then. In his book, he actually mentioned something quite surprising. He said that after believing in Jesus Christ, many youth were freed of their drug addiction and alcoholism. However, there were some of them who went back to that, unfortunately. Amongst them who didn't go back to those things, there was a common thread, and that was that these people had experienced the Holy Spirit. So why is it that they were changed? It's because they knew God not just by the form of knowledge, but they had actually experienced Him. And they realized that He truly was walking with them in their lives, and He was watching them. When they knew that, then they were able to gain power to help them overcome temptation. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." As for ourselves, we too can turn to God with a pure motive. And by knowing Him, we can be used for His purposes in greater ways. Let's look at the third point. Verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. So these peacemakers it's talking about here, actually, may be confusing to some people. They may have like an anti-war, opposition person in mind, a group of people in mind, but that's not what it's talking about here. Peacemakers here is referring to people who are creating peace between God and man. In our history, in our ancestors, we know there is Adam and Eve, and from them we have received the sin nature. However, on the cross, Jesus resolved this problem, and He has resolved our broken relationship with God as well. Anyone who believes that Jesus Christ is their Savior can have all their sins are forgiven and have this peace with God restored. God has also given the privilege to those of us who have already been saved to be able to share the gospel with those who haven't heard it yet, to be people who are peacemakers. In 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 20, Paul said the following, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Verse 20, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." In other words, God has allowed us to be restored in our relationship with Him. And when we have been restored, we now have the opportunity and responsibility to share the gospel with others. And it's referring to here of the concept of a goodwill ambassador. And such people like enter and reconcile between two countries which are in disagreement. They create peace. In the same way, we too are to come between man and God and create peace. And this peacemaker position is what is expected of us. To create peace can also be translated as like creating peace. And to take a step out on that actually does require some strength and power. To be able to share the gospel and to talk about God is something where some people think, oh, you have to be really a special person in order to do so. But in many cases, God uses very weak or small people to do great and amazing things. In today's passage, Jesus was talking to the disciples. And the disciples, the 12 of them, what kind of people were they? Well, in the Jewish society in those days, they were just kind of like people out in the countryside. They were people in the society of that day that were not of any high standing. However, Jesus specifically chose them and used them to change the world. God uses small and weak people to be able to do great and amazing things. I'd like to tell a story of something that happened years ago. In Ethiopia's capital, Addis Ababa, and there is a location about 2 hours from there where a 99-year-old blind woman used to live. And when she was in her 50s, she came to faith in Christ. But because she was blind, she wasn't able to read the Bible. What did she do then? Well, in her house, she always had the Bible sitting out, and whenever somebody would come by to visit to her, she would just have them read it to her. And after a period of time, she was able to develop various passages that she really liked. When she became older, there were actually people who would come to visit her from quite a distance. And why did they come to visit her? Because they came to listen to her because she had memorized so many verses. The Lord is my shepherd, Psalm 23, was one of her favorites. And it wasn't just some words she had read on a page, but rather it truly expressed her faith. People gathered around this older woman because her memorization ability for Bible verses was very well respected. And in this way, a lot of people actually came to faith in Christ because of it. She truly was a peacemaker, standing in between God and people. God uses small and not strong people to be able to do great things. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Let's look at the final and fourth point. Verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So to be persecuted for righteousness, what kind of people would this refer to? Well, Jesus continues by saying that blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they have persecuted the prophets who were before you. So if you've been misunderstood for Jesus or persecuted, you will be able to receive a reward in heaven, it states. In Japan, if you are a Christian and you profess your faith, there may be sometimes you do experience prejudice, but not to the extent that you use your life for it. However, in the future, things may change and that could happen. If such a time does come, it is important for us to try and maintain our faith. In Christ, actually in Japan, there were people that did actually face this situation years ago. There was a person who was very passionate about sharing the gospel years ago, a passionate missionary, who in 1549 came to Japan. His name was the Jesuit Franciscan Xavier from Portugal. And in those days, Japan and Spain had trade agreements, and so that's how he was able to get into Japan. He really did have a desire to share Christ with Japanese people and created hospitals and orphanages here in Japan. However, in 1587, Hideyoshi Toyotomi gave an expulsion order to get missionaries out of Japan. And why is it that he decided to persecute Christians? Well, there was actually various factors for this. First of all, he was wanting to maintain the trade agreement with Spain, But in those days, Spain was creating various colonies, and Hideyoshi was afraid that Japan would turn into a colony of Spain. In those days, trade was a very important thing, and so that there was actual concern for this. Also, the Christian teaching was said to actually be opposed to the shogunate and the status system that was in those times prevalent in Japan. In Kyushu, it was also said that the daimyo was going to sell Japanese people as slaves to Portugal, and so that is also why the persecution of Christians came into play in 1587. Then a true tragedy occurred, and that was in Nagasaki when 26 martyrs, Christians were martyred. In March, there are some people who actually visited this memorial location. In 1596, 24 Christians, which included six missionaries as well, were arrested for breaking the Christian ban, and they were going to face the death penalty. They were forced to walk all the way from Osaka to Nagasaki, a distance of 800 kilometers, starting on January 8th. It was very cold and snow was prevalent, and they had to walk in just the clothes they had on their backs. Because of this, they were extremely cold, and it was a very, very long and treacherous journey. However, these 24 people continued to have faith in God and sang songs of praises to Him and actually expressed gratitude to their persecutors on the way. These 24 were actually added to a number by two more, and that came to the total of 26 people in Nagasaki who reached this slope there. And there were 26 holes dug in the ground and 26 crosses lined up there as well. And that's where they were placed on the crosses. It is said that 4,000 people actually came to watch this happen. For the people watching, they noticed that one person who was on the cross, he said, and his name was Paul Mickey, he said, "Please listen to me. We have not done anything sinful. We have just told the teachings of Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus Christ is the only way for salvation, and for this death penalty, we pray that Hideyoshi and others will be given grace by God. We're not angry at them. We pray that they and all the people of Japan will also be saved." And so they spoke very strongly in support of Christianity. So their persecution, death sentence began, and they were stabbed and on the cross and died, but singing songs of praise to God even until their death. Through their deaths, what is it that we can learn? We can learn that faith in Jesus Christ is something that is even worth giving our lives for. And through their lives, we can also, through their deaths, we can also learn that they definitely went to heaven. They didn't go there because they did something wonderful, but rather that Jesus Christ did something wonderful for them. And that when they knew what Jesus Christ had done for them, they wanted to be faithful to the end of their lives in response. As for ourselves, will it be possible for us to make such a decision in our lives if we are faced with the same circumstances? Yes, it will be possible because we know the same truth. And through the love and peace of God, we can be able to do any form of persecution. God will give us that ability. If you're looking back over Japanese history, there are many people who were martyred, actually. But their faith has been successfully passed on and provides us with the opportunity to also profess faith in Christ as well. In our lives here on earth, it's important that we stand strong in our faith and that we can, in return, be rewarded when we get to heaven. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be able to worship you today. Today, we've looked at the second half of the Beatitudes. We know that blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We can learn and remember each and one, every one of these teachings as we move forward in our lives. And at the end of our lives here on earth, which we know will come at some point, we will come to meet Jesus Christ, and we want to be told that we have been a good and faithful servant. This year, Tomohiro's works have been displayed, and one of them is quite famous. And when he said that he thought when life was the most important thing, it was very difficult to live. But once he learned that there was something more, then living made it fun. So to have hope for heaven is what we know we have from Jesus. And when we have that in our hearts, there is no greater than joy. Allow us, Lord, to be able to go on the path you have for us. And may we look forward to our wonderful reward in heaven. We are weak, Lord, but we know that you are with us. And because of that, we can be strengthened. We thank you so much for this. We ask that you continue to use us in various ways and where you have us placed in the coming week. We have gratitude in our hearts as we pray in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's pray for a moment together in silence. Please allow me to pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this coming week and forevermore. Amen. We have some announcements next.